Let me turn this on.
Walters?
Present.
Sykes?
Yes.
Leonard?
Here.
Nemitz?
Here.
Henschel?
Here.
Gonzalez?
Here, look.
Tubbs?
Here. Is there any conflict of interest with respect to tonight's agenda that anyone needs to report? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Also move to approve the agenda of Tuesday, January 7th, 2020.
Second.
Was that you, Ted?
Yes.
He's here.
I didn't catch it. It's been moved by Commissioner Nemitz with support by Commissioner Henschel to approve tonight's agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The agenda is approved. We next need to approve the minutes of our regular meeting of December 3rd, 2019. Are there any corrections or revisions that we need to make to the minutes? Seeing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for December 3rd, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved by Commissioner Syke with support by Commissioner Gonzalez to approve the minutes of our regular meeting of December 3rd, 2019. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Those minutes are approved. This is time for public comment. If anyone from the public would like to make comment to the Planning Commission for anything that is not on tonight's agenda, we'd be happy to hear from you. Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on then to reports. Township Board report. Mindy.
We have not had, well, maybe we have. I guess we did have a meeting after this. I thought they were the same week. As you can see in your packet, we did have a meeting on December 9th. Is that what it says here?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Basically, one of the exciting things that has happened since then that I do not believe is in here is that we did receive the grant for the expansion from Holiday Ski Resort. They're doing a grant to purchase the property. Remember, we had that plan that came in for the subdivision that fell apart, and then the community bought it. Mm-hmm. Well, the Conservation District came to that board and they talked, and then they went to Holiday Hills and got an agreement and expanded the area, and we did get the grant to purchase the properties to get that whole area as conservancy property for a park for our community. So they're working on exactly what the boundaries of that are right now. And I do not believe that that's in your packet.
Is that through the trust fund? Do you know our trust fund?
Yes, I believe so.
And it will be owned by the conservancy then?
It would be owned by the township.
By the township.
Oh, the township. Oh, okay. Okay.
But we worked with the conservancy and the group that owns that one parcel that was going to be developed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also worked with the ski resort to have somebody that was going to be the caregiver of the property, if you will, so that they'll take care of the trails a little bit. Because there's already existing trails back there that are used for mud, sweat, and beers and some other races mm-hmm. back there. So the plan is right now. Big picture, where does it go from here? You know, the development of additional trails back there, maybe separating the mountain bikers from the walkers and that kind of thing. So that's the biggest thing that is not included in your packet.
Great. Any questions for Mindy?
I have a question about the bed and breakfast.
Yes.
So that's going to come back to us?
Yes.
No.
Okay. No.
Do you want to clarify?
No, I talked with Beth and explained to her what that was that you guys are questioning, and she's going to come bring back to your board and tell them.
Okay.
I mean, that was something that was in there for years.
Yeah, that was. The question was something, it said something about no dog, no pet lodging or something like that. And it's something that we didn't change. It was nothing we looked at, but so what the question was, does that mean you can't bring your pets, or mm-hmm. does that mean that you can't take your pet and then leave? And
like
a kennel.
Oh.
And that's what it means, is you can't be a kennel. It has, you can, you know, whether that, the, whether you can take your dog or not is up to the owner of the property. So that was a question that was unknown at the time, and I told Leslie she didn't need to be at the meeting, but I didn't know the answer to that question, so that's why it was going to come back.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Appeals Board report, Ted?
No appeals.
Quiet this month?
Yeah.
Okay. Planner report, and I would be remiss if I didn't say welcome to Claire Carner, who's the new township planner, effective, I think, either at the very end of last year or the beginning of this year, but joining us for our, the first Planning Commission meeting. So welcome, and glad to have you aboard. And so turn it over to you for any report that you may have for us.
Well, I'm super excited to be working with you all. So, the one thing that I was hoping to do is I'll be in contact with each person to just set up a very short, like, introductory meeting. So I know you're all super busy, but I was just hoping to sit down with each one of you and kind of get your perspective on the township and some of your priorities and stuff. So I'll follow up on that. And then the only other thing that I just wanted to mention, I think at the December meeting there was some discussion about individuals raising 4-H animals on residential properties. And so I did follow up on that. I called MSU Extension and left a message. I didn't speak with anyone, but just told them we might be interested in having a little bit more education about that. But just very briefly, regarding the permissibility of keeping livestock in residential areas, it's the site selection GAMPs generally supersede local zoning, so it's really a matter of the density of surrounding residences around, you know, whatever that agricultural use is. There's a lot of kind of court cases that have ruled on both sides of it, and so there's not really like a straightforward answer, but I think generally we don't need to make any changes to the zoning, because zoning isn't really the determinant in whether or not those commercial activities are allowed. And then the only other thing that I did find is that there's really no there's no threshold for commercial activity. So if you're raising like one animal for 4-H, that would be considered a commercial activity, so it'd be protected under the Right to Farm Act in Indiana. So I'd be happy to bring in somebody just to educate us all a little bit more about that.
Okay. Well, I think maybe when you have conversations with maybe the individual commissioners, whether if you want to gauge interest there, whether or not to proceed. I know that we did have, and I sort of defer to Daniel a little bit, because I think he probably knows more about this than the rest of us, at least to my understanding he does, because it's been quite confusing to me exactly what it is. And I know that we had someone from MSU Extension over the phone, and I just sort of thought if we did that again, it might be easier to have somebody in person, just because it's easier to have that communication, because you lose the visual communication a little bit, that I think might be important to have somebody here. But so thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. Any questions for Claire? Okay, thank you. Next item then on the agenda is old business, and I think the first item here was Planning Commission comments regarding East Bay Township Water and Sewer Master Plan. And I think everyone has received that and may or may not have had a chance to review it. Any particular comments that any of you may have in that regard?
Figure sanitary sewer system, are you an acreage map? There's a lot of different shading or crosshatching, whatever you want to call it, but there's no legend on what that means. So, come on.
Hi, my name is Damian Curry. I'm an engineer with Wade Trim. And the purpose of that hatching was just to delineate it from its neighboring hatching. I just chose random hatch styles so that you could see the difference of a neighboring area.
Okay, is there a way that you could denote that in the legend? Because
yes,
you know, hatching is not significant except for the fact that it's showing differences. And
yep,
because I did look for it for a while. And then on the water system master plan, the pump house in English Woods isn't denoted, or pump station.
The existing, that's the two wells?
No, the pump station in English Woods. It's just a lift station.
I don't have that in front of me at this time.
You have it depicted with this weird little dead-end thing.
Okay.
But that is a lift station.
That's a PRV station, a pressure-reducing valve station.
We might want to note that on the plans.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Anyone else have any?
I have a question, and I had talked to people a little bit earlier about this. Regarding the proposed sewer and water plan, living in the Forest Lakes area, I don't understand why you would go down Wilsey Road and Four Mile Road and not just go Rasho and High Lake and hook up people on the lakes and get those people off of septic and wells that are so old in a lot of areas, but some are new. But I'm just saying, that road is gravel. That road is terrible. The houses are set back so far. I don't see why we would do that without going to the lakes area, Tibbetts, High Lake, then Arbutus.
Because they're not in the growth boundary.
I understand, but is Wilsey in really in the growth boundary? I mean, it just seems like something that we've talked about for a long time, and just maybe like to review it at some point again and see if there just seems to be more population and an easier trek to whip right down Rasho and High Lake.
I think that's a great idea, and you know, as we get on in time, we see more and more sewer systems going around lakes just because of the inherent issues with septic systems around lakes. So I think it's a good discussion item to have and revisit that to see if it's something of interest to the township or the constituents that live there.
Do we look, I mean, maybe Leslie and Claire and Brian and you might have more information than I do, but do we see the Road Commission really paving that through in the next 10 years even? I mean, it's pretty...
Wilsey Road?
Yeah, in the end of 4 Mile?
They won't pave it. It will have to be a special assessment.
Yeah, so
they have to have a development come in and build.
And so maybe that would be, I was just asking, you know, I mean, I think I see what you were trying to do, and I appreciate that. I was just saying that maybe...
wouldn't that be like the next, after the growth boundary, like the next boundary? I mean,
in the northeast,
we have had a lot of people that want to do development in that area, Wilsey Road, Supply Road area.
Right.
But they don't want to do it because they don't want to bring sewer and water. So I can see why you did it that way. There are a lot of large parcels out there that can be divided.
If you build the facility, yeah, then they all develop. Yeah.
Yes.
Otherwise, they don't.
You know, that or we can move. It might behoove us to move that boundary line a little further to the north.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's what my comment was going to be. Can we look at moving that a little further to the north?
Yeah, that line has been in place for more years than we've been with the township. Mm.
27 years.
Developed it.
Sure,
it's up for discussion. It can be moved.
I think we should discuss that.
And I really see, like, you know, we've talked a lot about Vanderlip and about how that's going to, I mean, and I really see that happening way before Wilsey, because, I mean, it's wide, that road's wide, I understand that, but, boy, the cost of paving and doing all...
Yeah, you already have something going there, because they built Wood Creek 2, whatever it's called. They're going to run the sewer.
Alta Vista,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
One of the big reasons behind the master plan is when developers come in, they say, hey, we want to develop in this area. what do we need for water and sewer? So a lot of times that then begins to invoke a discussion on, you know, what size, do we need to put it there, where does it go? So the master plan is really put in place to try and plan for sewer and develop in those outlying areas. So as we're building sewer heading north, you know, all your sewers kind of, or south, all your sewers kind of north, as we head south, we want to make sure that those lines that we're putting in the ground will handle the next development farther mm-hmm. south so that we're not coming back and tearing up
sure.
you know, good lines to just make them bigger. And it gives developers a lot of good information, so when they think they want to do a development, they can, you know, they understand what's going on and what size of lines we'd be looking at, and they can apply a reasonable cost.
The problem I see with that line is that they want to avoid it if the sewer and water's not there.
Right.
They don't want to be the one putting it in, so they want to avoid it. They want to get on the other side of the line, and then we get the sprawl.
Yep.
The idea was to get the lines in there to get the density inside that line. So I don't know if you necessarily want to move the line. I think you want to get, you know, extend some lines is what we need to do as a future investment for the township. And I know they don't like to do that, but
well, we also need to think about increasing the density in the low density area because that's where our growth boundary is.
Right.
So
well, and just the suggestion here is to move the growth boundary, that line north, which, if I'm understanding, would decrease the size of the growth area. Okay. So, and I guess my question, and you kind of touched on it a little bit, is there anything, I mean, I'm sort of seeing that the master plan sort of dictates, you know, where water and sewer should be. It's sort of, they're sort of in conjunction with each other a little bit. Correct?
Yeah, it's not a hard and fast rule. It's
right.
Well, this is where the sewer has to be.
Right.
Those were the likely areas where when development occurs, you would see it along those corridors.
Right.
Where we want
And
it.
So I guess the question I would have is, in reverse, is there anything based upon your plan here, whether we should be looking at anything and changing anything as far as our zoning is concerned that would be helpful?
Nothing that came to mind. Now, we did take your zoning into account when we sized the lines that we, you know, placed
mm-hmm.
on the map.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do go ahead and make some areas more dense than what they were originally, then that would affect, you know, the size of lines that we would have to put in both water and sewer. They would have to work together in conjunction. But there was nothing that came, when we were going through this, that we said, they should really look at doing this differently because
mm-hmm.
of.
Mm-hmm. Nothing stood out in that regard.
No, I mean, we've always had the discussion about serving the lakes. You know, that will come up someday. Maybe you serve the lakes and you have an out. They have an outline, their own wastewater treatment plant somewhere. A lake
right.
association does.
Right.
Doesn't always have to be municipally owned and go to a municipality. But I think as time goes on, there'll be more and more discussion about serving those lakes with sewer.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's not going to be any cheaper. This is the cheapest time to ever do it. It's not going to be cheaper than today. And the other thing is, in fact, your wife was out at my neighbor's the other day looking at pumping up, and it was close to $30,000. So to hook up, I think there'd be, you know, wouldn't be $30,000, I don't think, according to Leslie, what she might have said about an individual hooking up, you know, which would be, it'd be really nice. So thank you for looking at that. I appreciate it.
Any other questions or comments, Paul?
Just a more curiosity thing. First of all, we're talking about protecting the lakes. But I noticed that looking at the charts, the down where I am, which is on 31 down towards the edge of the East Bay corridor next to the city, the two things. One is that the sewer starts at one residence and immediately cuts out and runs up along the beach. Right now, it's probably underwater.
Mm-hmm.
So, from our standpoint, what do we do to, you know, watch that, protect it? You have a sewer line serving a number of people, which is now underwater in the lake.
Yeah.
So, what is our protections and views and
yeah, so I mean that's a lot of your sewer is underwater, especially that along US 31, and it's not, you know, you're not an anomaly. That happens in a lot of communities. One of the ways that that we try and make sure we stay on top of a sewer, a gravity sewer usually doesn't leak out. Okay, usually the biggest issue with a gravity sewer being underwater is clean water leaking in.
Yeah.
Now you're taking it to a treatment plant to treat clean water, and your costs go up. You got to pump it several times to get it there, so on and so forth. So usually we're combating infiltration in gravity lines that are underwater. When we have a force main from a pump station and we're pushing that water and that line is under pressure, then we would see there's a leak. It would be getting out of that pipe into the water. But usually what happens is that line is under such high pressure, eventually it makes its way to the surface and you see it right away. Okay, you'll see water, sewage bubbling on the surface. If it's close enough, it may be spraying in the air. I've seen that happen. But the best way to kind of keep a track of that is have the sewers cleaned. And when they're clean, then we also run a video camera down through those sewers to see if there's any new cracks or disjointed connection points, water leaking in, sump pumps that are connected that shouldn't be, things of that nature. But, you know, as the sewers age, it becomes a concern to say, all right, you know, we need to start thinking about replacing some of these in the next 20 years. You know, are we preparing for that? You know, right now, the best thing you can do is just keep an eye on it. And the DPW does do that periodically, cleans the lines and videos those, and addresses issues when they come up.
One other thing, more curiosity. How come the sewer line does not extend under all the houses in the East Bay quadrant there, which would be the northwest? There's about 5 or 6 houses that are not served by that line.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to take a look at the map and see. So I think some of that area is some of your oldest sewer.
Exactly, yeah.
Was probably put in potentially by the city and turned over, like some of your water system was put in by the city and turned over to the township when you took on your own infrastructure. So I don't know the history behind why they did what they did there, but I can see what I can dig up.
Well, it's just curiosity.
Yeah.
Any other comments or questions? Okay. Thank you, Damien. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is Wilson soil erosion permit from our November meeting that we had requested. And I think for the minutes of the November meeting, the planning department would share with the township engineer the soil erosion permit to ensure it met approval before any permits were issued. And I think in my conversation with Claire today, that was in fact done, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And any further action necessary or recommended from you or from Brian?
Nothing from us. It was Damien that looked at it.
Pardon?
It was Damien that looked at it.
Oh, okay. 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 Sorry about that.
No problem. Okay. No, nothing else is needed.
Okay.
From us as far as we can tell.
Okay. Any questions from anyone about that?
Are they doing a slab?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it is.
I hope
with
so.
With a deep footing in the back. Or
a deep footing in the back?
Six foot of blocks or something. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering, now, does anybody monitor this to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing?
The health department does, that issued the soil erosion permit. They'll go out there periodically and check on that and make sure things are on the up and up.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I read the plan. What they said, it looked pretty extensive.
Next item on the agenda is Arbutus Ridge Stormwater review and decision on requested stormwater waiver. My understanding is that the Planning Commission has been assigned from the Township Board the duty of hearing any appeal related to implementation of the stormwater ordinance. So this matter is properly before the Planning Commission. It's also my understanding that for purposes of hearing this request for waiver, that the Planning Commission should treat the current situation as if nothing had been constructed at the site, so we will not consider that. With respect to the request for a waiver, to allow for a deviation from the conditions under the Township Stormwater Ordinance, there would be two requirements, both of which must be met by the applicant. One, without the waiver, the application of the ordinance would present or cause practical difficulties for a development or development site. Practical difficulties would not mean the incurrence of additional reasonable expense or the loss of potential income. And second, a showing of granting the waiver requested would not substantially prevent or result in less effective management of stormwater runoff. It's my understanding that the applicant here is seeking a waiver of Section 2.3.1.6 of the Township Stormwater Management Ordinance. which states that for retention basins without emergency overflow outlets, the maximum water level during back-to-back 100-year 24-hour storm events must be calculated without deduction for infiltration. This level shall be shown on the plan along with the areas outside of the basin that would be inundated with runoff. This water must remain on site and may not cause damage. This is necessary to ensure buildings, roads, etc., will not be flooded during frozen soil conditions. Note, the basin will be sized using the allowable infiltration rate, but this second calculation must be used for safety and flood control. Mr. Mansfield here for the applicant, I believe. And so do you have any or take any exceptions with what we must determine here and what our two showings must be to grant the waiver?
Well, we understand it's not a financial issue, and we understand and believe that what we're doing is not going to cause any irreparable harm to the development or any of our neighbors.
Okay, so I'll let you go ahead and address those two questions for us in whatever detail you wish to do so.
Well, Doug Mansfield, Mansfield Land Use Consultants, 830 Cottage View Drive, Suite 201, Traverse City, Michigan. Thank you very much. Happy New Year, everyone. We all made it safe here, and there's a little snow on the ground, and so we'll take it. So this discussion has been going on since Dave and Tim Whiteford, who are here in the audience, basically did their first timbering. In moving ahead last spring with the development. We do plans as engineers, and we have our basins on there and our clearing limits, and they're on a piece of paper. Well, in this case, I'm dealing with an architect and a builders who have been around this area, know the area, and know what they wanted to create. And I would go out there, and we'd stake things, and they'd clear things, and they'd said, really, more trees. And until finally, out of frustration, said, Dave said enough. there's got to be a reasonable, practical solution to this. And actually, we met with, at the time, Rick and Leslie and the supervisor and the engineers to look at this. And I actually came to the Planning Commission, and we talked about during your planner's last days, as it turned out, you know, him gathering up the local adjacent ordinances that are used in the county and looking at, is this something that, you know, should be taken care of? And that's because your engineers inherited this stormwater management ordinance. This was created through the drain commissioner by other engineers from downstate, and basically our engineers will tell you that they brought their ordinance up from Oakland County and basically applied it, and it was adopted by the drain commissioner. As we know, then the drain, those responsibilities fell to the townships, and now you're managing those. But I don't want to say this is Wade Trim's issue at all. They've been very objective to deal with, and you know, we just, I think, out of time have said, well, let's look at it. And to the credit of my developers, they said, we're not giving up this time. You know, this. And we'll talk about the numbers here in a minute, but you have an extremely diverse township in its geography. You have fixtures at the sea level, bay level, basically, and you have some of the highest points in the county. And certainly our Arbutus Ridge at the top of the Garfield and Arbutus Hill is one of the highest points in the township. We are about 919, so we're about 400 feet of above the bay. We are about 115 feet above Arbutus Lake. We're 127 feet to groundwater here, and we're all sand. And again, East Bay has areas that has extremely high infiltration rates at the beach. We have this recharge area kind of in the middle, our Mitchell Creek, where it's a little bit more mucky or peaty soils, organic soils. And then we have an area, some of the ridges are clay, but in this case, these hills are predominantly all sand. But you have one ordinance to cover all that different terrain and all those different soil types and all the different groundwater levels here. And this is one of those areas where one size doesn't fit all, and we want you to see that, and that's what we've been kind of talking to you about over the last few months when I've been here, is really asking you to look at this.
So we met with Wade Trim another two times through the process, on good days and bad days, constructive and you know, kind of on their complaints at the township about the project. And we are here today after the project has been seasoned in, we'll say. The soil erosion's closed out. And when we went to close out the stormwater, we're still short area on two of the basins primarily. The first one off the road to the left and this one on the corner here. And my clients are, again, saying to look at some practicality in this. And basically, I really want you to, because now you're in charge of this, and I'm not saying this meeting has to be the end-all when it says decision. If this is a tough forum to have these discussions in, and maybe there needs to be some more discussions with your engineers about what these numbers mean. But basically, the ordinance says no matter where you are in the township, no matter where your groundwater is, if you can't discharge to a wetland or another drain, okay, and off your site, you've got to maintain the storage for two back-to-back 100-year storm events, and not be able to use any soil type or any qualities of your soil. Forget that if it's all sand or clay or whatever, that makes no never mind. So it's a little bit of a bait and switch, because you can show this, you do the calculations for it, but in the end result, you're not allowed to use that infiltration. So I want you to think about this on a practical matter. You know, a 100-year storm. So the storm events are a derivative of time and rain. The amount of rain given during a peak period in a storm. There's a million different things.
If I could just interrupt you,
sure.
Does that mean that because of having the two back-to-back 100-year storms, that the retention pond would have to be a certain size to accommodate, given the acreage on the property, whatever, to accommodate whatever that stormwater would be?
Right. And it's primarily over the hard surface, the directed hard surface towards the basins. There are means and methods to look at the entire site and the adjacent site, and how those watersheds are impacting this land. That's a whole other study. In this case, we're on a top of a ridge. So we just have to make sure we're not dispersing our water off-site primarily.
And if I can interrupt again.
Yeah, that's fine.
So the size of the retention basin, is that cubic feet or is it by surface area? Or
we look at it both, because we look at it in terms of infiltration and then by volume. So, but we don't want to go over 4 feet basically to the high water level from the bottom of that basin to the high water level of the without having safety terraces and methods, because you get over 4 feet and you got basically a pool there. Fencing, those kind of things really.
So good. If you keep it within four right. feet of depth, then right. you have to expand the
right.
area depending
right.
again.
Right.
Okay.
So
mm-hmm.
Then there's side slopes and everything that goes into design. Mm-hmm. And so again, Dave's clearing trees. Dave's an architect, they're artists, and he's done very well in what he has done in northern Michigan, and Tim the same way, in citing these buildings, and they're from East Bay Township. They lived in this area. So when we last approached Wade Trim, we hired a geotechnical engineer here in town to go out and do infiltration test, okay, and the basins. And these aren't just raw land. This is after the basins were groomed, run over with bulldozers a couple times, so fairly compacted. And we got, when we did that, we derived that we get 7.5 inches per hour of infiltration across the flat part of the basin. Now, when you think about your storm events, a 25-year storm is over a certain amount of rain over basically a 24-hour period. It's roughly 4 inches, and I'm going to use some really rough numbers. 4 inches of rain in a 24-hour period, you can think about the time you've seen Joe Charlevoix say, "We got this." You know, we don't see that a lot in northern Michigan. 4 inches of rain is a lot of water. A 100-year storm is about 5.5 inches over that same 24-hour period. So when we talk about a back-to-back storm of 100 years, we're talking 10, 11 inches of rain that we're designing
each
into.
Each time or both?
Well, that's what we're required to store. It's about five and a half inches of rain over a 24-hour period. Okay. In the history since they've been kind of recording these things, Traverse City's never had a 100-year storm event. More or less, or moreover, never had two back-to-back. I mean, you're talking 48 hours of rain, 10, 11 inches of rain. So when we first started looking at stormwater hard in this area, it was 25-year storm. Black Forest in the Chandler Lakes area with Bill Klaus, when I did that, it was 25-year storm. English Woods, 25-year storms. Canterbury Woods across the street, there is no stormwater retention. You know, but it's the same soils. But we've never had anybody call and say, hey, we've got a flood here. You know, so this has grown and grown through the different drain commissioners as they got more proactive about it. And this last one, you know, he took the drain commissioner to a whole other level, and I won't say it was real high, okay? So I'm just going to make that comment. It is so overbearing, especially given the soils, that I asked the board and Wade Trim to say, how do we look at this in terms of a waiver? Okay.
Well, to me, the overbearing nature may be, and again, I'm going to give you some figures that may not make any sense to what we're talking about here. But you know, there's one thing if you say, okay, the ordinance would require us to have a retention basin, you know, 25 yards by 25 yards,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just making that up. I don't know if that's right.
And 4 foot deep. Can't remember that.
And 4 feet deep. Okay. And really, we think that's overkill because, gee whiz, the chances of there being 200-year storms. And so instead of being 25 feet by 25 feet, it really should only be 20 feet by 20 feet, 4 feet deep. And that's enough. Okay. So to me, that's the way I'm looking at this is what's the impact that, you know, this ordinance has,
right.
and what is it that you want the waiver to do?
Okay.
And to me, it sounds like it comes down to a matter of how big this retention basin is.
Right.
And that if we apply the ordinance, then it's got to be larger, and we'd like a waiver so it can be smaller. Am I understanding that correctly?
To some extent, yeah.
Okay. So the question to me is, how big did it have to be, as you understand
mm-hmm.
it, and how big would you like it to be?
Okay. So our basins... And we have a little letter in their packet. We did the infiltration rates. Mark this up a little bit. So as you saw in this one, the basin was supposed to go kind of like this. I'm just going to take that one first, okay? You can see it here. So that first sheet is as designed.
Right. As designed? As designed or as built?
This is as designed.
Okay.
Okay. The second one is as built, and we have basically this area. So it's a little bit longer this way because it worked with, I'm going to say it worked with some trees. And if anything, it needs to be extended down here. Now, there's a project for your engineers here to look at, given we have sandy soils, and you have to think about that, there's no water sitting there. If we don't have high groundwater, it's 127 feet to the static groundwater. If we had groundwater and we were sand, we still have freezing issues. But in this instance, we don't have groundwater. We've got great infiltrating soils. And this is similar to when construction code says, hey, if you've got this soil type, your foundations only have to be 2 feet deep. You can build on a slab. But if you had high groundwater or clay soils, silty soils, you're going to be down below the frost line of 42 inches deep. So even construction codes for decades has recognized the qualities of sand. And this all gets into affordable housing and all these other things. So this waiver is kind of a tough medium to use to get there, but truthfully, I'm hoping that you say, guys, let's hire our engineers to look at this. So these basins right now, had the ability to have a 200-year back-to-back storm if we're allowed to use the infiltration. The only way we're not allowed to use it, in the instance that this stormwater ordinance creates this, I'm going to say Armageddon, is that you've got frozen snow and it rains for 48 hours, 10 and a half inches.
I guess what I'm getting from you, Doug, is that you think the ordinance as it's written is impractical. It doesn't make sense.
In this instance, not always.
It doesn't necessarily protect what. But I don't know if that's what our responsibility here is in looking at the waiver, not whether or not the ordinance makes sense,
right.
But what's the impact on the developer here, your client, and whether or not we should grant a waiver to do something different because of the impact that following the ordinance will have on the development and whether it impacts it negatively, and so it's easier to do something, it makes sense to do something different. I think the second question, and where I think that does probably apply to, is, you know, we're not, if we do grant the waiver, that it doesn't result in any less effective management of stormwater runoff.
Right.
So I think what you're saying kind of addresses maybe that second question, but not the first one, I think.
Right. So the equation it's kind of funny that it's like a ZBA hardship. You can't take money into it. This isn't a money thing. I mean, it's a couple of thousand dollars. The lots are selling well. I mean, but this does go along with, I think, more what you tell me and what I understand after working with you for 30-some years, your goals and objectives in your master planning is saving the trees, saving the character, and these kind of goals and objectives. So, again, I'm not sure this is the right medium, and maybe we need to discuss how that works more, because we're all kind of new to this and trying to understand it, but it's not something we're trying to get out of the money question on. So I'm not.
So what is the, if the commission granted the waiver, what's the benefit to this development?
That it maintains its character in the township, and
so it saves trees
substantially. Yeah.
And how many acres or percentage of an acre are we looking at for how many trees would have to be removed versus don't have to?
So this basin up here is predominantly okay. It's actually. It's the ugliest thing in the world how it's built on a slope that we had to do. But, again, that's nobody's blame. That's just what we have to do. This one would be probably what Dave's intent was, to preserve the trees at the intersection, which is where everybody comes to. And so this would have to be all carved out. This is going to be substantially changed here. You're about probably around a 75-foot by 50-foot area in a triangle. So however you want to take that, the cords of that. And again, this would be about another 75 to 100 feet in here by maybe 50, 60 feet across the width of this.
That's a lot of trees.
Yeah.
What's a lot?
Of trees.
What's a lot?
Mature trees.
What's a lot?
In that couple thousand square feet, you're probably talking about 30 trees.
Okay.
And they're nice trees. I mean, that's a nice piece of woods.
And how many trees come down to put the lots in?
Around the houses,
mm-hmm.
You can sight even actually building houses.
Wait till Benny, my logger, bailed on me, and Tim and I ended up with a chainsaw on our hands all summer and weekends and evenings, but I couldn't.
I'm sorry, you probably need to come to the lecture because this is on video. And
yes, Dave Whiteford, so we're... Tim and I are the developers, but as far as the number of trees, I know we took probably 3,000 logs off there to mills, so it probably represents 300 or 400 mature trees.
In the whole development so far.
And we were able to talk the utility companies into allowing us a 66-foot wide right-of-way for utilities, not an 86-foot wide, which would have cost us another, I don't know, 150, 200 trees probably. So.
You're citing the houses, though, Dave, and your clientele right now, how far would you say you're clearing away from the houses for these people right now?
20 feet, yeah. So around the perimeter of the house, just for safety purposes mainly. And
so your clientele appreciates the wood lots and isn't looking to create...
Yeah, the house that we're nearing completion on in there, we designed the entire walkout around a 24-inch beech tree so we can save it, you know, which is about 15 feet from the house. It would have been easier to cut it down, and but I redesigned the lower level and the walkout just to save that one large tree. So,
as I'm understanding it, that if we were to grant the waiver, that would mean that you would not have to cut down approximately 30 trees in the... Is it the three? Were the three retention basins, or are we talking about two?
Primarily, it's these two.
Those two, primarily, yeah. So it really comes down to whether we can use infiltration. You know, you use the notion that this is pure sand. We did test holes around the entire piece of property for the health department. It's all pure beach sand everywhere. So if we believe that water is going to infiltrate down through the soil and not just lay there, and I've been there. I spent a Sunday there where we had back-to-back deluges all afternoon, and we had no water collected in these basins. You know, if it was there, it was there for half hour. So, you know, they're not holding any water. The other thing that we're not factoring in is, you know, the roads, the slope of the roads pitch to these basins, and they're all ditched, but we can't use the ditches for any factor in this. Most of this water never gets to the basins because it's collected in the ditches. Ditches are so sandy, it infiltrates right down through the ditches.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the stormwater ordinance and where it comes from, and I don't think this body says, okay, we're going to change that stormwater ordinance. I mean, I think we have what we have, and it's what we have to live with until somebody changes it, right?
Well, it's your town's ordinance.
Yeah, but I think I don't think it originates from here.
We review it.
But it's the township board that would ultimately
correct.
Change it. And so I think, to me, again, it is what it is. So we can't, I don't know that we can do anything about the ordinance. Now it's just a question of whether or not, pursuant to what the requirements are to grant the waiver, whether or not we grant the waiver.
With all due respect, you guys could say, because that's what the board would look at, is saying, we'd really like you to look at this ordinance.
Well, and maybe we can, but I don't think that's what's before us right now.
I agree.
And I think when I started, looking at what the requirements are to grant the waiver, and there's two of them, as I'm understanding it, and I think you concurred that, yeah, we've got that right. So then it's just a question of what's the impact, and what I'm understanding is that the impact is about 30 trees on the two sites. Mm-hmm. Is there any other impact that we need to think about?
It just keeps destroying the character of a beautiful woodlot out there.
Because of the less trees.
Yeah, if this was a wide open field like some of the subdivision, I wouldn't care. I'd just make the basins bigger and we wouldn't be here. It'd all done, but we're here because we're trying to preserve the character of the property and make the lots as nice as they can be. And we met a month or so ago with Brian and Damien, and I think they concurred at the time that we ought to look at this infiltration allowance, that it makes sense that we do that. So,
did you have a question?
I just want to comment that it's really refreshing to work with a contractor that's trying to save the tree.
Well, and we'll come back for discussions. Yeah. But right now I just want them to be able to present, why they think these two conditions can be met or aren't met. And then any questions that you have in those regards. So, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying, is that it's the loss of about 30 trees, and then what you feel would be a change in the character of the property by the loss of those trees. That you got a wooded site, and it's not going to be quite as wooded as it would otherwise.
And like you said, he's done everything working with utility companies that is an exception to narrow that corridor as much as possible. And it's been proven as he's closed the site up for about. This is really what you want to happen, so I'm hoping that we can go further than this in the future. But right now, this is the work. This is the tool we have to talk about.
I'm going to ask other members if they have any questions, but is there anything else? I don't want to cut you off either. Is there anything else you want to add at this point? So does anyone have any questions for either Doug or Ms. Whiteford? Paul?
If you if it was not granted, would easements have to be created on those properties?
There are easements right now. The easements would have to be expanded slightly now.
Okay, then that leads to my question. Didn't you already offer them they can have the smaller basins if they have an easement?
Correct. And so, I'm going to comment though too.
Okay, all right. So one of the options was, okay, let's not make the basin. First of all, the basin itself doesn't have to hold that 100 years long. The ordinance says the site itself needs to hold that water, not just within the basin. But when we're showing where we're storing that water, it can't encumber the road because we still need emergency vehicles to get across the road. It can't encumber private lots unless that area is within an easement because we don't want somebody building a house where we were expecting stormwater to be stored at some point and then flood a house. So the basins themselves don't have to hold 100 year back-to-back, but you need to show that the site will hold that. Okay. So one of the things that we talked about actually early on, and remember, this was their design that they came to us with and said, we're going to build this. We didn't go to them and say, you have to build this site this way. All right, so there's some options out there to save trees. For one, maybe you make the ditches bigger, deeper, flatter, so that they can act as extension basins. I know that developer probably doesn't want deep ditches because he didn't want culverts or something of that nature. I can understand that, but that would save trees. All right, the other option is to make those basins smaller and then claims this is one big area that he's got shown here as potential storm water storage to meet the 100-year storm or two back-to-back 100-year requirements. But if you're gonna claim somebody's lot, two private lots for potential stormwater storage, that should be in an easement. And the route of water getting to that should be in an easement. So somebody doesn't buy that lot and say, you know what, I want to put my house right here. Fill that hole in, build a house, now we've got drainage problems. Okay, so there are options. I mean, we're talking about saving trees. There's options that either the road they didn't want to go down, or they didn't want to put an easement on property, or they didn't want to do all these things, so then all of a sudden it comes back and we got to have a variance against the ordinance. Well, I necessarily agree with that approach.
So to that end, deeper ditches mean more side slopes to get down deeper, so you're clearing more. So you end up with this county road effect, the great big wide road. So when we say to we don't clear trees, clear more trees, no, you clear a lot more trees along the width of the road.
I've driven through there to look at those ditches. They're very, very shallow. So without clearing any more trees, there could have been a lot more storage gained with the deep ditch.
So to the end where we're using, there is another large low point that we looked at utilizing. This is a great big natural hole that's been there since the dawn of time. It's probably never held water and never will hold water, but if we use that as a logical place to overflow to, which we originally showed, then we'd have to build a road to get there to maintain it. Well, I mean, that's right in your review letter. We had to build a road all the way down to this low point to get there. Well, more trees are being cleared. So, and I get it. You got to be there to maintain it. So,
I think the way it was worded was we need an easement for maintenance. It wasn't that we need to build a road. Maybe you assumed it was a road.
Well, you have to access it with a vehicle, so.
We might in the future. I don't know why we'd have that. There's no sense.
Right. In either case, you know, it's the idea that it's going to rain 11 inches in January.
No, I know that, but that's not the issue here before us. And that you keep expounding on that one, but that's not the issue as I see it. And you may be entirely correct. I'm not arguing with you. You may be correct, but I don't know that that's what's before us here. Mindy, do you have any other question, or did that?
I have one question. Mm-hmm. Brian, if the ditches were deeper, and that's really sandy...
And I do want to hear from Brian. I think he needs to address this. So I don't know if you want to wait,
okay,
or if you want to keep the question, because I think he needs to address these two elements, too. Not trying to shut you off.
No, no, no.
Any other questions for either of these gentlemen?
I thought I heard Doug say that you can't count the ditches in your calculations. Can you? Are you?
If we put, basically, the road, if it was flat, is easy to use it as retention because the water's not moving through it. If we were to use the ditches, we have to put check dams as they you know, there's character to this land. So you'd have to flatten the ditches and put check dams in them so they become small linear basins along the route. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, to get a whole lot of volume when something's only this wide is real tough out of that. And that's why you don't see a lot of it.
Right. The reason he's saying that is because the ditches are all sloped, so when water gets into them, if it's a heavy storm, it will direct water to the low point, so they don't exactly act as
a
stormwater basin unless you flatten the bottoms and run an independent ditch.
Because the design that was presented to you didn't have them that way.
Can I ask? Okay, so if you did do, we were talking about ditches, and I know that on Hammond they went in and did a ditch on the side and put a lot of field stone in and some check points and things
down
like that.
Up the hill.
Yeah. Or down the hill, whatever way you want to go. I'm familiar with when we remove the dams, we get that sandy loam out there at Brown Bridge. And so if the ditches were deeper, how would you stabilize that sandy loam with, would it have to be rock, riprap? What would you do?
In a project like this, with a low relief along the road, no, it would just topsoil, seed, and mulch, just like they're
okay.
Doing
so seed and mulch.
There.
Okay, you wouldn't have to do what they did at Hammond or Brown Bridge or anything.
That would be pretty extreme.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. And I'll give you a chance to come back up if you hear something that's being said by Mr. Susan that you take objection to or whatever. But so. Brian, I guess if you could address for us your thoughts with respect to, you know, what practical difficulties would be incurred and therefore why a waiver should be granted, and then also whether, if we granted the waiver, whether or not that would substantially prevent or result in less effective management of stormwater runoff. Those are the two issues I think before us.
Okay, so addressing requirement number one, I don't feel that requiring those basins to be built to the size, but it's kind of a catch-22 because, like I said, the basin itself doesn't have to store 100-year back-to-back. If we can grade somewhere within the right-of-way, maybe some additional ditches, depth and flattening, maybe we can accommodate that same volume of storage but without building one or both of those basins bigger. But I don't think that not granting the variance in this case produces a practical difficulty for the developer. And I think he's kind of mentioned that. He's just trying to preserve what he, you know, the character that he wants to see there, and I can understand that. So it's not a difficulty in building them. It's just that they want to preserve some more trees is my take on that. All right, it's not an engineering feat to get this done. It's not a lot of extra cost, you know, a lot of considerations that haven't been done many, many times over. It's a situation of trying to preserve some trees. So it's not really a practical difficulty to get this built the way it was originally permitted.
Well, I guess, you're addressing the first of these two. We're to presume that this project has not been built yet, right? We're to presume that the applicant's coming requesting a waiver before anything's been done. Okay, so I guess my question to you would be, if we're concerned, or if the request for the waiver ahead of time is because we don't want to lose approximately 30 trees. Would there be a way that this project could be done in meeting the ordinance without the loss of those 30 trees?
Absolutely. I mean, it'd be a difference in road elevation and the ditching that was proposed and the way it was proposed. Right. So if we're looking at this as a clean slate, you know, we might say, well, instead of producing the big basins on the three sections that are shown,
why don't we look at producing some independent ditches along the road, independent meaning it doesn't slope with the road, doesn't follow the road slope up and down the hills. The bottom of the ditch is flat in areas. Let's try and gain volume in that manner rather than producing or constructing big basins.
And then the second question here is whether we grant the waiver, will that substantially prevent or result in less effective management of stormwater runoff? And I think that probably goes to Doug's principal point that he sort of sees this, as I'm sort of maybe paraphrasing, but sort of sees the requirements as a little bit of overkill.
Sure. Right.
So if we granted the waiver, is that going to make a big difference?
I would like to be able to say if we grant the waiver, then we're never going to see flooding on site, and the homes that are there are all good. The road won't flood. I can't say that. I don't think anybody can say this site will never flood. We talk about 100-year storms and them not being very frequent, but we tend to forget about springtime runoff on a warm day in spring if we've got snow melting and rain. I haven't gone through to say, okay, well, 4 foot of snowpack, how many inches of rain is that? And if we get a half inch of rain, we could get to that point if it's decided that the ordinance is opened up for review and adjustment for future situations. But I fully believe that if we grant the ordinance or grant the variance, and we do have some of those events that happen more often than people want to talk about, especially with snowmelt going on and frozen ground. I can't safely say that we wouldn't flood the road from time
flood
to time.
Flood what road?
Flood the end of the road there with the cul-de-sac.
Because that's at the low point.
Right, and documents provided by Mansfield showed that if a back-to-back 100-year storm was produced and we had to store that water on site with the basins that were built, that the roads would flood. And some of that water would go onto private property. That flood water would go onto private property that is not in an easement at this moment. So I think requirement number two, granting relief or the variance, could very well cause issues in the future. Can I sit here and say that definitively? No, because stormwater runoff, hydrology and hydraulics, they're not an exact science. We're just trying to protect the people that are going to live there in the future. And, David mentioned they appreciate the trees. I would bet they do, but they probably would appreciate not being flooded as well.
I guess from my perspective, the use of the 100-year storm is somewhat arbitrary. And that if they complied with the 100-year storm and everything was compliance, there's no guarantee that we still wouldn't flood, right? Because
exactly.
We could have more than 100-year
storm. Always be storm. A bigger storm.
At some point, we put a reasonable.
That's right.
Try to put a reasonable limit on it. Okay. Any other comments that you wish to make, and then I'm going to ask other members if they've got any questions for you.
No, I mean not really. I mean, I would like to say, as Doug mentioned, we all kind of have been through this project several times. We've met several times in the beginning and during and after and now for these meetings. The original design that they came forward with did show those overflow areas, that grayed out area, and then the deeper area that Doug was pointing to as potential storage locations, and we're fine with that. That's great, but they need to be in an easement. They didn't want to put those in. So there have been several other options that have been discussed, but for some reason there's always a reason why we don't want to do some of those other options. And those are ones that would save trees. If this truly was a tree-saving situation, that would save trees. But.
Any questions for Brian? Was that a yes I do or no I don't?
I just wondered about that big hole on the other side that you said you'd have to have a road. You said you don't have to have a road. Is that still feasible, or is that out of the question now?
It's still built? Feasible. Yeah, and I, to be honest with you, I don't ever see having to build a road down to that thing. I mean,
no.
The only reason you would have to build a road, if it was a smaller basin that we would expect it to fill in with sand quickly or over 10 years or whatever, we'd want a maintenance.
As long as you can walk down to it, you can fix it.
Right. Yeah, we could get down to it. So when we talk about access to it, an easement for access. You know, it could be construed as building a road, but that's, there was no implication or no thought on our end that we would cut down the trees, build a road down to that so that we could get to it. We just need, there needs to be an access easement more for the water to get there across the private lots, and then an easement in that low land so that we can preserve that storage area.
I hear rustling. Does that mean you're ready to ask a question?
Nope.
Okay. Any questions here over here?
More for Claire, I guess.
Okay. Start there. Okay. Want to hold that?
Sure.
Let's talk for a second then.
Sure.
Any questions for Brian?
I don't know if it's for Brian or not, but what easements currently exist?
Do you have any easements now?
Yes, yeah. Easements currently.
Yeah, we have kind of condominium documents that are recorded that provide easements all over the existing basins, the common areas, which are the roads, basically, and any other outlets or connections. So all the easements are there.
Are they sufficient?
Pardon me?
Are they sufficient?
They're sufficient for what they have built on site right now. But like Dave said, if the variance was not granted and they decided the way to solve this is to make those basins bigger, sounded like some of those easements would need to be adjusted where the basins are to encompass that whole area.
Okay, because we're considering nothing has been built. So that's the answer, that the current easements would have to be adjusted.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Doug, anything you want to address in response to what you just heard before we come back here?
Just a couple of things. Flattening out basins, I've tried to do it. That's the idea that you're going to save trees and stuff, that's speculation. You haven't gone through the design process. You can't say it was going to remove or not remove more trees with the rolling of this terrain. So, second of all, I'll look at, and I said, this doesn't have to be end-all meeting as far as I'm concerned. This is the first time any of us have gone through this. I'll review the letter regarding access to the hole in the back, because that is the whole reason we got rid of that, was it was our understanding that we understand we have to have easements to get the water there. That's right. We always do that with any of our utilities. But the idea was we were going to have to get like a tractor down to, I mean, and get it. If you had sediment in the bottom of that hole, you're not going to get guys with shovels down there. It's going to be a tractor. So somehow we were going to have to get an access easement down there. And we do that for sanitary sewer and stuff, too, when we have it remote. So we're kind of accustomed to that language. So if we read that wrong, then this meeting was valuable. You know, if not, then that doesn't work. But yes, we understood, and actually those lots around that hole are larger. I mean, that's why we had it, so that's what we'll look at. But, again, this is the first time we've been through it. Let me look at those things, if nothing else. If you have any other comments or consensus of where you're headed, it'd be nice to know, but I'd rather hold off and have a positive outcome to this than still a block in the road, you know. So,
okay. Well, the follow-up question to that is, I'm understanding procedurally where we're at is that you are asking this planning commission to grant a waiver. Do I hear you right now saying, before you make that decision one way or the other, let us put our heads together, you and staff, to see what you can come up with?
Yeah, always. I mean, that's what it's been about for the last 9 months, you know. Again, this isn't, we're in the middle of winter right now.
Yeah.
Everything's stable. We got some, this is a great time to work through these issues, you know, and we've had some good constructive discussions and things like that. So I'd rather work things out progressively than have them end on a bad note or some, you know, disagreement. So, there's been some ideas and some questions from your team thrown out there. Let me look at those.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
So are we tabling this till?
Well, I've got a question about whether or not that's an option for us, which I presume it is, but I think I'd just soon get a little clarification on that.
but because they're the ones that brought it here. So, and if they're saying they would like it tabled, then I generally don't have a problem trying to say no. I'm sorry that we're not going to do that. But so, but I think procedurally we just need to make sure that that's okay for us to do that. But did you have a question that you wanted to ask Claire? That
yes. And it's been a little while, so help refresh me. But when I think of demonstrating a practical difficulty, I go back to kind of the land. Why can't they do what the ordinance is requiring them to do? Are there extenuating circumstances like slope, like tree cover, like character, like other surrounding elements that fit into that neighborhood that are similar, like soils? Are there kind of common sense elements related to that piece of dirt that would allow or that would preclude them from meeting the letter of the law? And when I look at this, you know, I see all of those things demonstrated in just given the nature of where it's at, the soils, and kind of all of the elements that Doug's described. So to me, I can see the practical difficulty so long as it's not going, I can see that being demonstrated, number one. But number two, the bottom line is that, you know, I'm kind of mostly hung up on the prevention of effective management of the stormwater management. Like, I can see the practical difficulty with the site overall, but if it's going to impact the rest of the development further down the line with consequences that they're not buying into and they may not know about in the future, that's where I have kind of a heartache. I don't know that I can, you know, I'm not an engineer. I can't say that that's going to work. And we've got our engineer saying the exact same thing. Like, they're just not sure one way or the other given what's presented to them. So I guess, is that a good representation of a practical difficulty, I guess, is my first question.
I think, I mean, going back to when you're looking at, like, Zoning Board of Appeals.
Thank you, yes.
Process, they consider practical difficulty. I don't know if it would be defined the same way because the stormwater ordinance doesn't necessarily have those same physical conditions. From my perspective, I don't think that, you know, the evidence that we've seen doesn't necessarily, you know, I think a practical difficulty needs to pretty clearly demonstrate that there's not other options.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions at this point? So my next question would be for you, Claire, that the applicant at this point is saying somewhat maybe put the brakes on a little bit before we reach a decision and before we sort of have a discussion and debate the issue here. Do you see any problems if we tabled this either until the next meeting or until the applicant wished us to have that discussion and consider whether or not to grant the waiver?
I think that seems reasonable. It is, you know, currently in violation of the ordinance, so that would be one consideration, but I think it seems reasonable to table it and maybe have some additional staff time dedicated to.
Okay. It's a question back. Where are we at? Are there houses built back there yet?
Yep. Land use permits have been given.
So how many homes have we...
How many homes is there? Mm-hmm.
Two. I guess my question would be, by a delay, are we running a risk? Where are they located? Are they at, is there a risk on a delay? Or do you have any thoughts,
yeah,
Brian, in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, the project hasn't been closed out, so in all reality, building permits should not have been issued in there.
That's my thought.
So if we decide to table this, I would ask two things. One, my direction is to continue to follow the zoning ordinance. So if they want to meet, I'm going to look at them and say, you need to meet back-to-back 100-year storms because there hasn't been a variance granted. And two, I would ask that no permits are issued for work in there until this is closed out.
Okay. But I think what I'm getting from Doug is to have a discussion with you to necessarily meet it, but it can be met in one of several ways,
sure.
Two or more ways. What they originally planned was one way that they now wish not to do, and they want a waiver from that way, but there would be other ways. So what I'm gathering from Doug is he's open to discussing the other ways to be in compliance that are not necessarily what's happened.
Sure, what was on his request is either we comply with the ordinance or we don't. So if he wants to go back and redesign it to comply with it, I think we tell him now, we say, hey, comply with it. come up with a different design that does comply. Because if, like I said, if we get into meetings and they say, well, we only want to store this much, I can't.
Yeah, well, I don't know that you're in a position to grant the waiver. It's not your authority to grant the waiver, right? Your authority is to enforce the ordinance or to let developers know whether they're in compliance or not compliance. And the township board has given us the authority to whether or not the waiver is granted. Yeah. Mindy?
So, Brian, if they come back to you after rereading the letter and coming to the same conclusion that you did, that the trees to that one low spot that is not in there, that you, they can get there and they can use the volume that's in that area to meet that 100-year storm so that they meet the back-to-back 100-year storm per their design, that is something that you could issue, close out the permit, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I think the request has been put to us to table it. So I think we probably need a motion to
postpone.
Is there a number?
And if that's what, and then we can debate that or not. But I'm open to anyone who would like to.
I would make a motion to postpone the decision on the stormwater management ordinance appeal for Arbutus Ridge development.
Support.
For 30 days.
Ooh.
So you're changing the motion.
You got to put a time limit, right? Until our next meeting?
Yeah.
And I just have one clarifying question. Will you be reconsidering the waiver at the next meeting, or are you?
It depends on
unless
what comes up.
They withdraw it, and we won't.
I think if staff comes back and says we've had a discussion with the developer, and we're in agreement that they're going to modify their plan in such a way or whatever it might be, so that they are in compliance with the stormwater ordinance. Therefore, I think the waiver request would probably be withdrawn because they don't need to do that anymore. If you come back and say, we had some discussions, but unfortunately they were not fruitful, and so then I suspect on our agenda next month the waiver request is back on. And, you know, we may give each of you an opportunity to give us a little bit more information, but I think you've kind of told us where your positions are in that. So that's how I would see it. So any discussion on whether we on this motion that's before us now? And I guess, Mindy, do you accept the 30-day?
Sure.
Yep. Since I think that was added after your support. So.
Can we change it to the next meeting?
Yes.
Yes,
next
instead meeting. Of
until the
next
meeting. Yep, I think that. Does that make sense for you?
Yes.
You're okay with that? Mindy, you're okay with that?
Yes.
Any other discussion about whether on this motion? Okay, hearing none then. All in favor of the motion that's been made by Commissioner Leonard, support by Commissioner Walters, that we postpone decision on this waiver until the next regularly scheduled meeting of the Planning Commission or unless the request for the waiver is withdrawn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, so it's postponed for next month's meeting.
Thanks so much.
First time for us too.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Township Board.
I do this all the time. This is old hat. Me,
it's
I was
easy
ready,
for you.
I was ready to finish it out.
I think the next item on the agenda is Zoning Text Amendment 4-19 regarding cellular towers and a new use definition. This is returned to the Planning Commission per Township Board for additional language. This is a time for public hearing and recommendation to the Township Board. This is a zoning ordinance with regard to cellular towers in the LDR district. A recommendation was previously submitted to the Township Board, but this has come back to the Planning Commission with respect to additional language to be inserted into the ordinance regarding concealment of the towers. It is recommended by staff that the ordinance not mandate concealment in all instances when location may make this impractical, rather that the ordinance provide that the Planning Commission may, in its discretion, necessitate camouflage as a condition of approval. Do I understand that correctly? Okay, thank you. At this point, then, I would open this up for public hearing, and if any member of the public would like to address the Planning Commission with respect to this zoning text amendment, we'd be happy to hear from you. Please come up to the lectern and give us your name and your address. Going once, going twice, no one wishes to speak?
Okay, thank you. At this point, then, I'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the Planning Commission. Claire, is there anything else you wanted to add to this?
Sorry.
No, that's all right. You're on it. Is there anything else you wanted to add to this, Claire, at all?
No.
Okay. Any discussion here? Any thoughts, one way or the other?
I have one question. Can you just have... And maybe I missed it in the language, so help me out here. You could just put one cell phone tower. You couldn't have, like, three or four right together? Is that... I mean, it doesn't say one. It says that... So you could have, like, three or four 75-foot ones right next to each other? Because it doesn't...
Towers.
I'm sorry?
Those towers.
Yeah, okay. So you could have like, a cell tower farm. Like a wind farm.
And I apologize, I'm not super familiar with
that. No, that's quite all right.
But I think the ordinance does have provisions for co-location and certain separation.
Yeah, there's a distance. It can be so close. There's
it says 70... Okay, so we do have a thing that says, like, can't have a cell tower farm.
We don't allow farms, no.
Okay.
Not unless it's something new.
Okay. I just...
Since we did that.
I'm sorry. I missed that.
Well, I understand. That would be a thought.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's somewhere in our ordinance.
It is.
Or you pay.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I've been here long enough, you remember some things.
Thank you. Thank you. I missed it then in the other parts of our ordinance.
I'm surprised Leslie didn't jump up and say, no.
Any other questions? Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, if
yes.
So I noticed this after I got here, so I didn't read what the ordinance is in front of you or what the text amendment is. But one thing I wanted you to keep in mind is several of your water towers also act as cell towers. There are cell antennas on those. So I guess it could be extrapolated as a cell tower in some fashion. I don't know how that affects what's in front of you, if at all. So.
I already asked that.
Okay.
And their structures are designated use structures where this is a freestanding pole only for cell towers.
Okay. It's nice people
thought of that too.
Okay. No other comments, discussion? I would then entertain a motion on this.
This is just a motion to recommend to the board?
Again, to recommend with the revised language, yes.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
It's been moved by Commissioner Henschel with support by Commissioner Nimitz to recommend to the Township Board passage of Zoning Text Amendment 4-19 as it has now been revised. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is annual report. Any questions, comments with respect to the annual report? Yes.
The only thing that I would recommend is putting an acronym index.
A what?
An acronym index.
Just spell it out.
Yeah.
Like
yes. LDR.
LDR, what that means, an AS.
AS.
Accessory structure, okay. I'm assuming it like in my head.
Right, but yeah. We're not all in your head.
Thank
God.
This is a new year and the comments are just fine.
Okay, I can do that.
I don't think it's a big deal, but it would just make for easier reading for people that are not Leslie.
Okay. Well, and you know, we see these, but Township Board members do not always see these, so I suppose that may make it easier for them.
I can do that.
So
I have plenty of room on the second page.
Yeah, I didn't know what an MCI ticket was.
What is it?
Municipal civil infraction.
An MCI ticket?
Yeah, I didn't know what that one was either.
And then there was also, I think, Claire, you raised the possibility of scheduling a joint meeting with the Township Board, and I think we had this about a year ago.
Paul? Well,
pardon? Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yep, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Aside from the breaking down the acronyms, who are the dates of these items? In other words...
I can put them on there. I mean, this is the first time I've done this. It's usually the planner that does this. And we didn't have a planner at the time.
Yeah, because what I did...
We've never put the dates on them before, but we can.
Well, because it referenced me back to the minutes
well, that's
of the
true.
Meeting
uh-huh.
or the item itself when it actually happens.
Uh-huh. If anybody wanted to go back and look at that. Yeah, I think that's... I think
these.
That.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else, Paul?
No, that's all.
Okay. Anybody else have a comment?
I would agree with Paul. It's pretty sparse for a report.
I copied it exactly from the last
report.
I didn't like it then either.
Nobody picked on him.
We like picked on
I think it may have been record J.
Because you didn't give us enough
I think
candy.
Done the same
it was from Jade.
Yeah.
I copied it off of Jade.
So, in any event, I think it was raised about having a joint meeting, so I think there's discussion about maybe setting that up in either February or March.
I'd like to see an agenda before we...
I think Claire and Beth have had some discussions about some agenda items, and I one of which I think frankly was an issue that you raised at our last joint meeting, which right now escaped me, but to maybe have some follow-up discussion about that. So
have a good look at my notes, huh?
Maybe after Claire, maybe March, because February is real quick. It's a short month.
We'll get an extra day.
Oh yeah, we do this year. Okay, some people get a birthday.
Okay.
One thing you can put on there, Claire, is what we were just talking about. The water. What he was talking about, the infiltration
right,
and that.
Right, okay, yep. And I watched the video from the last joint meeting, and so I think there's some opportunities to move forward. There's some kind of next steps for the Beach District discussion. And I'll hear from all of you when I meet with you.
So how was your nap?
My nap?
Watching the video.
Yeah.
Every time John Sykes spoke, it was you. I don't know.
I've got a button under here that does it. Yeah. We're off to a good start this year. Is there anyone that would like to make any public comment about anything on the agenda of tonight's meeting? We'd be happy to hear from you.
Do we have students?
I think we might, and somebody has signed something, right?
Yeah.
So we can do that when we adjourn. But so our next regularly scheduled meeting will be on February 4th at 6:30 p.m. and we are adjourned.
And I thought I thought Doug did a really good job with the Sharpies. I've seen worse Sharpie things.
Are you making a political comment?
No. I just was saying.